You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Glad you could join us tonight. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we can come to you live every Sunday evening from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast. And you can see we get some of the very best guests on here, and this hour will be no different. But before we go to our next guest, Chris Kitzvey, we're going to be talking to you about the sponsors of this program. First of all, we're brought to you by PrepareWithDave.com. You know, I was selling storable food at two-year intervals. It's really what you should have. But a lot of people can't afford that. So I went back to our supplier and I said, can we lessen this? And they go, yeah, 4 weeks, $250. I said, let's do better. They said, what do you want to do? I said, how about $99? And they go, okay. And so we're selling that 4 weeks for $99, preparewithdave.com. We want to remove all the obstacles that you might have to prepare your family for what's coming. So that's preparewithdave.com. We're also brought to you by readymaderesources.com. My good friend Bob Griswold, I call him King Prepper. Anything you need, from communications equipment to water filtration to night vision, and he finances the high end, and he gives free advice, which a lot of these guys don't do. So go to readymaderesources.com. The phone number is on the screen if you need to contact him. And I'll tell you, there's a reason why Bob and I have been working together in this business relationship for 3 years, because my audience loves him. And then finally, don't forget about the conference Steve Quayle is sponsoring in Branson. The banner ad for that is on the website at thecommonsenseshow.com. Simply click on that ad and register. And by the way, they're three-fourths full. So you need to act on this now. Even though the conference isn't until September, they only have one quarter of the seats remaining, and I'm going to be there covering it. Steve invited me to cover it as the main media guy, and I want to meet all of you. So please, set aside time, come to Branson, meet me, and you're going to get the best transhumanism conference that you're ever going to get. Well, in this hour, we're joined by Chris Kitzvey, and I've known Chris for quite a while now. Some of you may know him best as the founder of Before It's News, and he does a lot more than that now. We're going to get into that, because there's a lot of things on the financial end that Chris wants to educate the audience about that they may not know. But we're also going to get into the idea of social media censorship and how bad it is. Chris, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us.
Happy to be here, Dave. I always enjoy talking to your listeners, and I read your stories on Before It's News every day.
Well, that's really impressive. Now, have you kind of stepped away from Before It's News now and turned that over, the operation over to other people?
I have. I still keep my hands in it a little bit to try and help out. We've got the same people who've been operating the site for the last 8 years are still operating it. And, they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, I think they've got some good ideas, but it's been a very difficult battle, as you know. And, so I still, pitch in and help out. And, people send checks to Before It's News, and some of them end up in my mailbox. And so I've got to go help out and deposit those and, keep track of things and the lawyers and all the nasty things that happen to a website like this. I help them out with a lot of those things, too.
That's really good. BeforeIt'sNews.com has a whole variety and a good cross-section of opinions and news stories out there. And I'll tell you, if something's happening around the world, Before It's News is one of the places you can go to get the latest breaking news. That's for sure, because you have an army of citizen journalists out there, and that's very impressive. Now, you guys have had a lot of the same troubles that I've had on my website at thecommonsenseshow.com, and I'll just put one stat out there. 2 years ago, Google accounted for about 21% of my traffic, and that's on my data analytics. Today, it's about 0.4%, and we know that Google directs people away from me. Some people tell me they can't share my articles. They have trouble pulling up my articles. It's all games that Google's playing, and you guys over on your side of things and Before It's News have had very similar experiences. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. You know, probably the worst thing that happened right after the election in 2016, you know, which, of course, the day after the election, my wife commented, it felt like Christmas morning, which for people in the alternative media, it definitely felt like the boot had been taken off of our neck. But unfortunately, about 2 weeks later, Google decided to completely terminate our relationship with AdSense, with the AdSense network. And we've been running their ads for probably 6 or 7 years. And what they ended up doing is it's not just a normal termination. Hi, we'll just pay you. And when, you know, you can quit now and whatever, we'll pay you later. They stopped payment on everything. They said, we owe you for 6 million ad impressions and we're not going to pay you for it. We were completely locked out of our account. We couldn't even go in and see what it was that they owed us for. Exactly. We had to look at our own internal ad, server records to calculate it, but they didn't pay. And they did that to about 200 websites. And we thought, well, should we sue them? And we just said, you know what? It's not worth it. We don't have time for that. And they were at the time probably maybe 5% of our ad revenue. But to do something like that is actually very, very dishonest.
Well, it's criminal. When they don't pay you what they owe you, that's a crime.
I would think so. But unfortunately, you know, no one seems to care. That's the problem. And, you know, the good news is things are starting to change a little bit, but it's an uphill battle every day.
Oh my gosh. The demonetization strategies on YouTube are this side of silly. I mean, I've been demonetized for talking about archaeological finds.
Well, and the other thing I heard about the other day is people are losing their AOL accounts.
Yes.
For forwarding and for you know, for being on mailing lists that have to do with President Trump, that have to do with any kind of you know, QAnon and all the other things that everyone's interested in, and they're just starting to terminate people's accounts. My prediction is you're going to see the same thing happened with Oath. Now, why would they call the company Oath? Because you're taking an oath to Satan when you sign their terms of service. My advice to people with Oath is run away. Clean out your account. It's going to happen probably in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Clean out your account and just walk away from that thing. You can't use Yahoo, Gmail, AOL, any of the big ones. You cannot use at all.
I'm going to have to put my webmaster on this as well. That's in the man who manages our server. I'm going to have to work on that as well. Yeah, because you're looking at, I know this is, it's a marriage sponsored by Verizon, and it's between Yahoo and AOL and Outlook. Now, I didn't know that Gmail was a specific partner in this. Do you know that that's true?
Not in that particular venture, but they are, you know, they're playing on the same team. That's the issue.
Yeah, I do agree with that, yes. The same philosophy. And by the way, I had experience with AdSense too. And at one time, without a lot of effort put into it, we just put one little ad up there and let it go on the website. We were making decent revenue from it. And I think the last month it was like $1.71. They haven't terminated my account and they didn't do to me what they did to Before It's News. But they basically have directed all traffic away from the ads.
Right. So this is part of the same strategy that's being used in China right now. Okay. What you see in China, they're giving people a social score. And that means if you're caught jaywalking, and they have cameras everywhere in China now, just like in the UK, it's literally a police state, you know, and what ends up happening is they post a comment that might not be something favorable to the Communist Party. They say something about Falun Gong, which is a meditation. In fact, I do it, and a number of people at Before It's News do it, and it's persecuted in China. That meditation You mention it on there, you're going to get dinged down on your score, and next thing you know, they will not let you board an airplane, buy property, enroll your children in any kind of private school. They take away basically your right to travel. It's like a kind of internal prison without putting you in jail. That's what they want to do here, too. And when you look at these things that are going on right now, they are first starting out the same way under communism, demonizing people, saying you're not good, and then what they start to do is they marginalize those people, and the next thing you know, you'll see something flip over, and now you've got a big problem. The FEMA camps are open, and it's, you know, like we always said, it's only a matter of who goes in the FEMA camps.
Yeah, I've talked a lot about that. There's no question about that, but I will have to tell you that I have known, well, I'll back up here. I was friends with a FEMA guy who bugged out in 2012, the end of 2012, beginning of 2013, for just the things you're talking about here. He said it's coming. His specialty was counter-bioterrorism. And he said they're going to use bioagents on us if they don't get the populism under control. And that was before Trump. And then my good friend Paul Martin from revolutionradio.org has a high-level source. I know who it is, and it's very high-level. He just quit. He walked away last week and said, the stuff is going to hit the fan. So, you know, Chris, we're kind of at the precipice now. I think they realize their censorship is not working. I mean, look at Kanye West, Candace Owens. They're taking many, many black people who listen and follow them, and they're turning them into Trump followers and conservatives because black unemployment's the lowest it's ever been.
Exactly. And, you know, what you see is, you know, people have been... Literally, Kanye West is 100% correct. I may not agree with all of his music and everything else about the guy. He is 100% correct. In fact, I think he was an MKUltra victim, actually, for a long time. And somehow he snapped out of it, which is very hard to do. That's a kind of mind programming that they do to people to get them to do things. What happens is, someone like Kanye West, he is considered one of the leaders. So what they do is when they target people, what's happening now, President Trump is using the same mechanisms that these powerful people, this powerful group of people, the secret societies, have been using to control human society for the last several thousands of years. And he's now using that. So you look at what's happening with Kanye West. Kanye West is a leader. He's taken President Trump's black male, not people being blackmailed, although maybe they are by the Democratic Party, the black male population has gone from 11% approval of President Trump to 22% in 1 week. That tells you the power of this kind of media and this kind of influencer. So you have these people who are just key influencers. You know, I would like to say, Dave Hodges, you're one of them. And that has a, you know, two-edged sword. One is that you can help people, but you're also a target. And as you know, both of us are targets for a variety of reasons.
Well, that's true. I mean, if the crackdown comes, well, let me put it this way. At this point in history, I'm not worried about the 3 a.m. knock on the door, come with us, you're going to the camp. I'm not worried about that right now because the climate is not there. And I have to tell you that I think we're going to see a civil war before we see a roundup. I think the roundup will come if our side loses the civil war.
Could be. I mean, it's let's just hope it never goes there, but you never know. I mean, I can tell you, you know, someone said, well, either President Trump's going to fix this or the rednecks are going to fix it.
I happen to agree with that. Trump was clearly compromised on the Syrian chemical false flag attack, and I don't know all the factors behind it. Don't get me wrong. He's done good things in office. But, and I just did a podcast on this, Chris. When he gave his speech that, hey, we're attacking Syria now, and everyone knew it was a false flag attack that prompted this, the only time in his political career he read word for word from a teleprompter. Did you notice that?
You know, I didn't see it, honestly, but he never uses the teleprompter. That's Dear Leader's format is to use the teleprompter because he can't keep his thoughts straight. And, you know, President Trump does a very good job. He's very articulate and very fast on his feet. So, but what I did notice was I think there's a deeper game that's being played here. And I think that there may be some additional technology. You heard a hint about it with the Iranian nuclear program. But from what I've heard from some of my sources is that there is a different kind of nerve gas technology that is absolutely frightening and potentially worse than a nuclear bomb. That's what I was told.
How so? Do you have any details?
I don't have any details, but when I heard those words from this person who I trust, you know, it tells me there's some big thing going on. And it's a little different than what people think. But, you know, in general, I mean, I've been to Syria. I was in Syria in 2008 just visiting as just a normal person, just going to see what this whole thing was about. And you can see it was not on the banking grid. There was only one ATM in the entire country. Right? So you want to go visit Syria back in 2008, you have to bring, you know, whatever cash, whatever you want to pay your bills with. You can't pay with a credit card. You got to pay cash. And they'll take dollars. They'll take euros. They'll take Swiss francs, whatever. But that's how it was. And a fascinating country, wonderful people. I had a really great trip to Syria. People, you know, people said, don't show the American flag. Tell them you're from Canada. They're going to hate you. Not true. People from Syria, you know, they are able to distinguish between what the government says and the people. That's really what it is. Because they experience it every day. The only people I ran into in Syria who were I won't say a problem, I just say, you know, not happy to see me, were Iraqis who had been kicked out after Saddam fell. They were not happy. But other than that, Syrians, great people.
I've met so many Europeans who will give me a response like this. You're a nice guy, Dave, and most Americans we meet are nice guys. Your government absolutely sucks. That's
yeah,
what I hear
well,
a lot.
I know. And I do a fair amount of business in Europe, and I hear some of that a little bit, or people are just polite and they won't talk about it. But, you know, I think part of it is that, you know, a lot of the European countries, they really like socialism. And the problem is, of course, socialism is dying. It's like communism. It's dying. Where in the world is communism, you know, still practiced? North Korea, that place is going to turn into South Korea. I guarantee it.
Well, North Korea won't be a communist much longer. When they reunify, and I think they will, you're going to look at a brand new Korea, and the economy is going to take off.
Totally brand new Korea and a totally new economy, if that's exactly correct. All those poor people, the suffering people in the North have, you know, and I think what's really going to come out is it wasn't just the pure communism. It was actually being run by the generals. And of course, you know, if you watched QAnon, you've seen the pictures of Eric Schmidt meeting with the military people in North Korea. Now, what would he be doing there for that?
The same reason he meets with the leaders of China.
Exactly. So that's the problem. That's why you can see why Google's doing what they do to people like us, because they are on the other side. They're not on the good side. They're on the evil side.
Well, you notice how they're advertising now in the mainstream media about their artificial intelligence? This scares me, because let me ask you this. When jobs are automated out of existence, what do they plan to do with all the excess workers?
Well, that's why Rockefeller famously called everybody useless eater, right? Or Kissinger, one of them.
Yeah, Kissinger, right.
Kissinger, right? Useless eaters, because that's where it ends up. That's what they think it's going to end up. Now, you know, if you have all this automation that's doing a lot of these things, you know, people will figure out something else to do with their time and with their efforts. And quite frankly, I think people will start valuing things made by human beings instead of by robots. The things made by human beings have a character that goes into it from that person. Robot has no character at all. It's just a machine. So the good, whatever it is that's being made, that's why handmade things are so much more expensive. They're more expensive to produce, but they're better. A lot of these things are much better, like a hand-carved spoon for using in the kitchen, a wooden spoon. I mean, I'd much rather have an artisan-made, handcrafted wooden spoon than some, you know, spoon made in the factory in China from some wood, you know, from some tree and wherever. I think that the artificial intelligence, however, is a lot further along than people believe. I think that the AI, I don't know if you saw the story, Google had program their AI machine in 4 hours to play chess. What they did was they programmed it, and they said, play against yourself for 4 hours. So it played against itself for 4 hours, and after 4 hours, it beat every chess program, every computerized chess program, and every human grandmaster in the world with 4 hours of training. Now, you think about what that kind of computational power is going to be able to do. Well, one thing it can do is it can scan through all of your emails, all your social media posts. It can go through everything, every keystroke that's being logged, all your phone calls. They don't have to sit there and listen to it. They just have the AI go through it. You get a threat matrix score, and next thing you know, RoboCop comes to your door and kicks your door in. That's where it goes. When you look at what they're doing now in China, they tell people, you can't go on the internet. They won't do that here. They'll just make it so that you can't use the internet. So what they'll do is they'll start losing your emails. The emails won't go through. I get a lot of people who say, I sent you an email. I never got it. I went through my spam folder. I went through everything. Never arrived. I send people things. That never goes through. People call me on my phone. Calls don't go through. That's how they do it. And I'm like, wow, why is my phone not ringing anymore? Well, it's because people can't get through. I haven't changed my phone number for 20 years. People can't get through. That's what happened.
Well, Chris, I experienced the same thing. I mean, you're taking the words right out of my mouth. In fact, I'll go you one better. I'll have articles on the Common Sense Show disappear.
Yep.
They're there one day. They're on the carousel. I come back the next day. They're gone.
Yep. That happens. That's very common. I've literally seen emails right in front of me disappear in my inbox. And I asked somebody about it, a friend of mine about it. He said, oh, that's the AI. Now, what the AI can also do, people don't realize this, it can also control the router. So all the routers around the world, they're basically high-end computers that route all the packets that go on the internet. Well, what you can do with a router, they're very sophisticated. They're like a computer. And what you can do, they have ways to break into it. Edward Snowden released all the files and all the things, all the toolkits that they have. Every single commercially grade router that's out there has a hack. They can get in the back door, and they can then program the router. And they can say, oh, this IP address, well, this matches Dave Hodges. Take his packets and drop 50% of the packets. Now, all of a sudden, you will not be able to connect to that website. That's what happens to your stories. That's why people can't get to your website. People ask me from Before It's News, why is our traffic down today? I said, go check the servers. Servers are fine. Go check this. Go check that. Everything's fine. Well, the reason is because, first of all, your email that's been going out to promote it is being blocked. Your social media that's going out is being blocked. The first example of that, we had an email. This was probably 5 or 6 years ago. The subject line said, is Obama gay? Now, we didn't care one way or the other. But we had a lot of people contact us saying they tried forwarding that email and it got blocked.
I hear the same thing frequently. And it's interesting to note that your issues with Before It's News are the same issues that I have on the commonsenseshow.com. And it's the same MO constantly. And the sharing part of it is blocked a lot. That's the part that people come to me, or they say, Dave, I've come to your website. I directly typed it in, and it's not there. Here's the other thing they're doing to me. I have a newsletter subscription, and I probably get 2 or 3 of these emails a day. Dave, I was subscribed to you for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and all of a sudden I'm unsubscribed, and I didn't do it, and it won't let me resubscribe.
Well, yeah, they can do all that stuff too. I mean, it's pretty frightening when you look at this. And what they do is they leave enough of it, 10-20%, they leave enough of it running so that people think, well, maybe it's me. Maybe something I did wrong. Maybe my programmer messed up. Maybe my server's having a bad day today. But the reality is that when you look at the numbers and it happens over and over and over again, is that, you know, that's not it. There's something else. There's another force that's happening. And there are just things that just don't want you, they don't want you to do. And what they do is they target people. You know, everyone on Earth has a file at Bluffdale, Utah. Everybody. I had somebody from India. He got a call. He was doing some support work for us. I barely knew him that much. And he got a call from somebody, and the person said, "And what's your cell phone number? This is your cell phone number, and this is your home phone number, and this is your address." It was a Western person, like an American person, calling this person in India who was starting to work. This is for Unseen, which is private and secure communications. And what ended up happening is he's like, he was freaked out. He couldn't believe it. He's like, how do these people even know? Because this cell phone number that they had was not even registered in my name, but they knew it was his. This is worldwide.
Yeah, I've had similar experiences with data intrusion like that as well, too. As far as emails go, okay, so you listed a whole litany of emails to avoid. Do you have any that you recommend?
Well, there's Unseen, which is one that we run. It's in Iceland. There's Proton Mail. I mean, that's pretty popular. It's in Switzerland. You know, I think I honestly think if you really want to have good communication, we're going to have to just invent something that's better than email. The closest thing I can think of is the Unseen chat. And, you know, I've tried to move away from email, but, you know, let's face it, email, people love email. And it's hard to give it up. And I mean, I've got, I don't know, 10 accounts or whatever that I keep up with. And, you know, I've got the same addiction everybody else does. And I'm one of those people who knows how bad and how insecure email is. The insecurity is actually why email is so great. It's because I can send an email to anybody, right? I don't need permission to send it to somebody and it'll just go through. It may end up in the spam filter, but at least there's a chance that they'll get it if I know what their email address is. But that doesn't prove that they got it. It doesn't prove who I am. It doesn't authenticate me as a person. I could masquerade as somebody and send whatever I want to. So it's really, it is not a good medium. And now with the AI that's after email, you know, you send an email and there's a very good chance it's not going to go through. You know, it's like the Postal Service employees are not only disgruntled, they're downright angry and they're burning your mail. That's basically what's going on with email right now. So those are the ones, you know, unseen.is, protonmail.ch. There are a couple of others out there. But, you know, my honest opinion is we're going to have to move away from email. We're going to have to move to some kind of real-time chat that's secure, that people run their own servers, and we basically are going to have to form our own networks. That's what it comes down to, private networks.
Well, there's a move in that direction in a lot of areas in social media. You know, I've talked to Mike Adams quite a bit, and in June he's opening up what's called Real.Video. And he says he has enough capital behind him to attract investors in terms of sponsoring ads, you know, bringing in commercial entities. And we're going to have to move off their platforms. Is that the way to go? I mean, is that what you see happening, or is that impractical?
Well, I don't think we have any choice. We have to move off the platforms. I like Mike Adams a lot. He's a very good person. You know, I've talked to him a number of times, and I really respect what he does. I hope that he's very successful with this. The issue that we all have is that the internet is an open network. But if you really look at it, most of the traffic on the internet is carried on three different fiber optic networks. Guess who controls those? So now you're back to the same problem upstream, where you can start your own servers, but if people can't get to it, or if the packets get dropped, or if something gets rerouted somewhere and it doesn't go through to the intended person, then you're back in the same, you're playing the same game. So part of the next generation, and you can take this to the bank, it's called circumvention. And, you know, a number of Falun Gong practitioners actually built systems to do this many years ago, 10 years ago. And the reason was because they wanted people in China to find out about the persecution, because people don't even tell people in China. The government doesn't, of course, tell people, "Hi, we're persecuting these people." They say, "Well, we're against it and we don't like it, even though what they do to it is illegal. They do organ harvesting. They do all these terrible things. Forced labor. People were working in factories for Walmart. All these bad things. And they created this technology called circumvention. What it does is it basically offers a golden rope over the wall. Someone can find this, and then now they can talk, and they can go outside over the wall, and they can get around it. Unfortunately, here in the U.S., it feels to me like we're about to come back to that here in the U.S. And one thing I was told by a former government contractor was they already had a duplicate internet built, and they were ready to switch it over. And this is a permission-based internet where in order to publish anything on it, you had to get permission by the censors. And that is literally one switch away from being flipped on. So that's why I think the anti-blocking circumvention is going to be extremely important.
So this permission network, how close did this come to becoming a reality, and what stopped it?
Well, there are a number of things. We had done some development work on this back as far as 2000, the year 2000. And back then, it was very easy. What you have to do, just to make it very simple for listeners who may not be that technical, there's a client, which is like your web browser, and there's a server, and that's like the server that you're going to talk to. Well, to do this, what you do is you put a client and a server on a person's computer. So in other words, my home computer, my laptop, my tablet, not only can be a client where I can go and view things from other places, but I can also share things from my computer, from my laptop or whatever I'm using. And that all changed when they changed the firewalls for home routers. And I think this is one of the reasons they did it. There were a number of other technical reasons, of course, but this is what happened. It now made it very difficult. Takes a lot of engineering work to punch a hole in it. So like what Skype does, looks easy, very difficult. And, you know, and that is not even a, that's still a client. It's not even a server. Plus, Skype in the early days used to be truly peer-to-peer. They stopped that, and the reason is because it's too hard to monitor. So all the calls on Skype go through a Microsoft central data center. They're all recorded. They're handed over to the Chinese. I know, because people in China got arrested when they talked to their relatives using Skype. So you have to know that it's basically being handed over to whoever is in charge wherever.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Now, again, I just want to be clear. What kept this internet permission from being implemented in the here and now?
Well, I think, I think if President Trump had not been elected, we'd be in a world of hell right now. And, that's the only thing that has prevented this from the final solution. And, you know, and I'm saying that in a reference to, you know, to the Nazis, right? And what really is happening is, I think you're seeing the forces, and you can see this every day, like you can see that Apple, Google, Facebook, if something goes over $1 billion of value, it gets permission from somebody. They can kill anything. All they do is they just go and turn off computers, they attack it, they have people, you know, slip and fall and sue them for $1 billion and win because the judge is, you know, in on it too. All these kind of things happen. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by chance. When you see some kid in his dorm room and all of a sudden he's got a multi-billion dollar company 2 or 3 years later, it was not that kid. It was somebody else sponsoring it and making it that big. Kid, of course, thinks he's a genius because look at what I did, but that's actually not what happened. So what's happening now? What can we do about this? The best thing we can do is just to quit using it. I tell people, if you have a Facebook account, just turn it off. Quit Facebook. Unfortunately, all of your data, you can tell them I want to quit, erase my data. They will never erase your data. because they basically gave it to a bunch of government and other databases. So, you know, you don't even know who they gave it to. I mean, people go and travel to other countries like Russia, and they pull up on the screen, and they got data from, like, your grade school here in the U.S. Where did that come from? It's all in a, it's all in centralized databases, and it's all shared with everybody. So the only thing you can do is just opt out. It's just like going through the TSA at the airport. You know, you don't have to go through the cancer-causing radiation scanner. You can opt out, and then you get groped, but it's better than getting cancer. So that's kind of the choice. We have to opt out. And then we have to start building some systems that can support some very simple systems that can support a private communication network. And the other thing is, you will not see anything real advertised on a website or in a commercial. None of that stuff is real. And the reason is that's why they let it go. Like VPNs, for example. I was told this by a friend. He said, XYZ brand VPN is actually owned by the FBI. Antivirus software, they've been using that to control people's machines and backdoor people's machines. Now they do it through the Intel chips. If you have an Intel i7 processor, you have all kinds of built-in backdoors. You know, they don't even need the software. They can get right into your machine. If you have it turned off, that doesn't even matter. If it's unplugged, that doesn't matter. They have remote access with a built-in 3G and Wi-Fi chip right on the CPU processor. They can run it in low-power mode. It runs off the capacitors from the power supply. You can be unplugged, and they can still access your machine. So that's what we're up against.
Oh, that's just, I'm just mesmerized hearing all this. It's is there any truth that 5G is deadly?
It's awful. 5G is, let me put it to you this way. It won't matter if people are wearing clothes or not. You'll be able to use a very, very relatively simple receiver. And it just, it'll reflect, because what they're doing is they put the antennas about every 1,000 feet. The idea behind 5G was, we're going to put high frequency, and this goes up to 100 gigahertz. So 5G starts at, you know, your Wi-Fi at home is 2.4. They have 5 gigahertz now that they use for broadcasting for longer range internet, you know, point-to-point internet. But when you start getting up into, 15, 20 gigahertz all the way up to 100, that's considered 5G. Now, the faster the frequency, the more data they can carry, but the shorter the range. So what they have to do is they have to put it on a tower. And the towers that they're using, they're not going to use the regular cell towers. They are going to use they're going to use phone poles and put these things up every 1,000 feet. Now, what are they putting up? They're putting up an antenna. It's a phased array antenna. What a phased array antenna does is it's steerable. And the reason they do that is because, well, first of all, these things are cheap to make. There's no moving parts. They just have a grid of, let's just say it's 144 mini antennas that make one big antenna. They can make a beam. That's why they do it this way. HARP does the same thing. HARP is like, it's a phased array antenna. So what happens is you make a beam. Now it turns out that they can, this is microwave radiation. Okay? So when they talk about a cell tower, it's like putting a microwave antenna, a microwave oven on the end of a stick. Now with 5G, because of the steerable beams, they have what they call cancer alleys, which are where the beam is mostly focused. Literally, people who are right in the path of that thing, you're going to get cancer. That's what it does. And, you know, this particular kind of radiation has been proven to be used for mind control and for doing these kind of bad things. You can cause all kinds of disruption of the human body with this kind of technology. Now, of course, you can be streaming your Netflix movie on your cell phone and, you know, in 4K resolution, but, you know, at the same time, you're getting a barbecue, and you're the barbecue. So, you know, my advice for that is move away from the 5G tower. If you've got one right next door, you're just going to have to move away. The other thing you can do is there are things you can do to remediate your exposure. Some people are more sensitive than others. And, you know, I used to think, oh, these people are crazy. Now I realize these people are just sensitive people, and they were right. And what happens is when you go on these towers, because the power, if you look at the power cables that go on the towers, how much power does it take to run a standard cell tower? Well, it's like 5 to 10 watts. That's all it is. That's nothing. If you look at your computer, your laptop computer, the power supply that charges your laptop computer is probably 50 or 60 watts. So it's less than that is what the power requirement is. But these things have these giant, thick, monster cables. Why is that? Because they're going to carry a lot of power because they can turn these things up and literally fry people. What will happen is when you look at the 5G, when you look at the power, there was just recently a pronouncement from the FCC where they allowed them under certain circumstances to go up to, I think it's something like 120,000 watts. Now, think about that kind of power and what it can do to something that's in the way. Now, this was designed for beams to make it so that they could transmit at longer distances. But as soon as you have the ability to do this, you can cause all kinds of havoc. And it's legal. That's the problem.
That is the problem. And how do we make it illegal?
Well,
or illegal?
You're going to have to go and talk to Congress. You listen to the guy who's in charge of the FCC, who thinks he's, you know, one of the people there who is like, let's go and do all this 5G stuff, even though we don't have any of the testing data yet. It's going to be a disaster. Now, the phone companies and everybody else will say, oh, well, look, you're getting this great new phone service with our 5G. What are you going to have to do at home? You're going to have to put up special screening materials. There's special paint you can get. Believe it or not, in an old house, like an old Victorian house, where the walls were painted with lead paint blocks it. It's really funny. That's why you go into an old house, you don't have any cell coverage, because the lead paint blocks the signals. So I'm not saying to go paint your room with lead paint, but there are paints available. There's a website called Less EMF. And they sell all these things. You'll have to put curtains up, special wire mesh curtains that are grounded and that that block these this radiation from coming into your room. But you're basically going to have a safe room. Or you're going to have to move out in the middle of nowhere in the country. Those are going to be your choices. Because the whole place, you know, Santa Rosa, California, which is not too far from where I live, that's one of the first cities in the country where they're rolling out 5G. And it is a not good thing. If you look at what's happening, not only, remember I said you could look through people's clothes, you could look through walls, you could look into people's cars. What will happen is people will just be able to say, well, I looked in your car and I saw that you had this in your car and I'm arresting you. Police can do that. Why? How could they look in your car? Well, because the public spectrum was beaming it on everything, and all they did is they just viewed the public spectrum. It's now what was hidden, and what was now hidden is now going to be in plain sight. That's the bottom line.
You know,
it won't matter if people are wearing clothes or not.
Well, I have a theory about why they want all this surveillance. They want to be able to keep us from rising up when they start doing the really bad things.
Well, I think they may have made a change of plans, too. And, you know, this is the thing about they're very smart people, and some of them are not people. What happens is they are now, I think they've looked at this and they've decided, you know, wars are expensive. They like those because they make a lot of money. But they're expensive and they destroy a lot of things. You know, if the goal is just to kill 95% of the people, the more efficient way to do that is going to be with bioweapons and with things like 5G. And you just kill people over 3 or 4 years. You just turn up the radiation, and next thing you know, everyone's getting cancer. They'll die. It'll kill them.
Chris, I've been talking to a guy who used to work at Goldman Sachs, and he won't tell me what he did, But he told me about the meetings he went to, and I said, why did you choose me to talk about? He said, you nailed the Gulf oil explosion. He said, you nailed it from A to Z. You got a lot of people's attention there, and you upset them. And he said that, let me give you the rest of the story. But I agreed never to expose his position or him at this particular point in time. But he said something that you just triggered in me. He said that the slow kill methods are coming to the forefront. And Chris, I'm sure you remember that statement that came out from Goldman Sachs a few days ago that said, there's no money in the cure. In other words, we want to block.
It's unbelievable, isn't that?
I couldn't believe they came out with that. And right. And this is what this guy is telling me. He said that it's 5G, Dave. He said you need to jump more into 5G. You've done shows on it. You need to do more. Because he's not in line with this. He's been in these think tank meetings, and he told me he has seen projections on screens that said, if we do this with 5G, or if we do this with the water, or if we do something else, here are the death curves over a period of time. And the entire purpose was depopulation.
Yep. They just want to kill a lot of people. That's all it is. You know, people say, what's the end game? The end game is the Georgia Guidestones. That's the end game. 500 million. They want to get everything down to 500 million. Well, what's going to happen to the other, you know, 6.8 billion people that aren't going to be here? Well, they're going to obviously have to die. That's the point.
Yeah, that kind of brings us back to where we started with all this. It's really Fabian socialism when you get down to it, which espouses the belief that if you're not contributing more than you're taking in, then we need to do away with you. And see, that's why I asked the question about automation. What are they going to do with all these people that don't have jobs and therefore they're not productive to the system?
Well, here's the way that I look at it. If you look at it in terms of politics, the Democratic Party represents the working people, the working class. The Republican Party represents the middle class. The elite are communists. That's really what it is. And when you think about things that way, you know, this is the point, is that communism is actually, it's the hand of Satan behind it. That's what it is. Where did it come from? It's the Red Dragon. That's what they call it in China, the Red Dragon. And when you look at Karl Marx, you know, he was related to the Rothschilds. He got funding from the Rothschilds. He was a personal friend of Charles Darwin. So now your listeners, I can hear their minds right now putting the dots together. Oh, I didn't know that. This is all true. What Karl Marx said in the Communist Manifesto, not exactly, but if you look at the second chapter, the goal of communism is to eliminate eternal truth, all religion, morality, and to replace it all with communism. Now, when you hear that, when people hear that for the first time, they are literally shaken because they now understand, they're like, this is what communism is about. It's the opposite of truth. And when you see all these people, it's now very easy to just listen to somebody for 10 minutes and you'll know exactly where they stand. People's minds have been poisoned. They call it in China, they call it the party culture. And this is the culture of the Communist Party. Wow. So that's what's going on right now, is that we're really, people think that communism was defeated. It was not defeated. You look at some of our leaders, a lot of them are communists. You look at the people who are running the central banks. These are the elites. This is how the whole thing is controlled. It's run. This kind of collectivism, it's communism. That's all it is.
I can validate some of what you're saying there firsthand. I followed Trevor Loudon's work very closely and people close to him. And he had come out. And he talked about the enemies within. He wrote about it, and he did a documentary that was on Amazon Prime, which I'm surprised they let him run. And he went through, and he exquisitely, with detail, pointed out 80 Democrats, and Alan West and Cynthia McKinney, both former congresspeople, said the same thing, that these 80 people, like Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, and so forth, Nancy Pelosi, They all belong to front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood and for the American Communist Party. Right on to what you're saying here. They are indeed communists.
Well, this is the choice that people have to make. And I know the choice your listeners are going to make. They're going to make the right choice. That's why they're listening to you, because they want to find out more about this. And they want to find out what to do about it. The first thing is to just tell your friends and neighbors, and just to get them to start to listen and see the light. They are, but most people, there are some people that are just not going to be able to be saved. Unfortunately, they are just too, you know, what they say in China, what someone said was, it's like being dipped into a dye vat. A dye vat is where you take fabric that's, you know, comes off the loom, it's white. You dip it in and it comes out blue, right? It's like an indigo dye vat for blue jeans. The longer it's in the dye vat, the deeper the color. And the longer it's in, you will never wash the color out of the fiber. That's what this is like.
Yeah.
So these people have been so contaminated, they've been so polluted and poisoned. There's just, I don't know that there's anything you can do. Their minds are just, they're locked up. It's like Kanye West. It's like his mind was freed. You know, he said slavery is a choice, and people are like, well, wait a second, that's not right. How can slavery be a choice? The slave didn't have a choice. The slave master had a choice. The slave might not have had a very good choice, but he could have said, I'm not going to do it, just kill me. That's his choice.
That's right. You're right.
So he still
had a
choice.
There's always a choice, even in finality. Chris, we're almost out of time, and here, I have a regret. I wanted to get into cryptocurrency, but this was a whole segment unto itself and more. This has been fantastically interesting. We got to have you back to talk about the crypto.
We'll come back. We'll do it.
And I don't want to let very much grass grow under our feet here before we do this, but this was absolutely fascinating. Thank you for all that you do, you know, for freedom. I know you stand for freedom. Before It's News stands for freedom. And I know the way you're running crypto, it stands for freedom. And I want to let you know how much I appreciate you, and so will our listening audience. But I'll be in touch with you shortly, Chris, because we need to do a part two. I feel like we're leaving everybody hanging. But I want to thank you for joining us, and I look forward to the next time we're together.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it a lot, Dave, and happy to come on anytime. You know, God bless all your listeners, and wish everybody the best.
Same here. We've listened to Chris Kitsy, founder of Before It's News, now into a bunch of different ventures that we're going to explore the next time he's on. Thanks so much, Chris, and everybody else. Go out and have a great week. God bless.